And many more. As it is Friday, it is game day. It's game day weekend as Alabama travels to College Station to take on the Aggies of A&M. But we're at Innisfree, where we all throughout the football season. It's Matt Coulter, Lars Anderson, Peyton, Laura Lee. Laura Lee, her husband, her parents. You got everybody here.
The entourage. Yes.
The entourage is here.
But we've got a great cold beer selection. In addition to, I see that your husband is enjoying the meat and three, the lucky lunch, and that's available. Hello, y'all. It's good to have you here. And we invite all of you listening to Tide 100.9 here in Tuscaloosa to drop by and visit with us. We might even let you come. In fact, we will. If you want to ask a question, come on up. We'll allow you to do that. But it is Alabama traveling to Texas A&M, Lars. And as we were talking on the way over here, I have a woeful feeling.
Yeah, this is going to be a tough game for Alabama, I think. And a lot of people have been discussing the possible injury to Jalen Milroe. But last night, Austin Hannon of Bama Central, which is run by our buddy Chris Walsh, he reported that the rumored hamstring injury is a hoax, right? And that Jalen hasn't been limited during practice at all this week, and he's ready to go against Texas A&M on Saturday afternoon. And that's a good thing, because I don't think Alabama can win this game without Jalen Milroe. I really don't. And let me go to my left here, and he's our now one of our Friday partners and a student of mine, Peyton Davis.
Yeah,
Peyton, awesome that you're here. Thank you so much.
I want to send a special shout out to my dad. It's his birthday today. Happy birthday, Alan Davis.
Happy birthday. We want people to continue to come.
Peyton, your thoughts on what you've heard about Jalen, talking to other students. And it's amazing, Matt, throughout the years, the students usually know more of what's going on than many reporters.
Because they know students are at the athletic department. They know students are actually watching practices. So, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. I've heard the same sort of rumors, and I think you said it perfectly, Lars. We can't win this game. Alabama cannot win this game without Jalen Milroe. No question about it. And I have a friend. Actually, he's on the Alabama football training staff. He says that that Milroe's been completely fine this week as well. So that's what I've heard. And it's just such a unique game, really, when you look at an unranked team being like a pick'em sort of game with Alabama. I think it's just the way A&M matches up with this Alabama team is it will give Alabama a lot of problems no matter what.
Laura Lee, it's a brutal matchup. I mean, you want to talk about mano a mano. I mean, it is offense, offenses that struggle against defenses that don't. But first of all, Red Elephant Club, good to see you again, because I missed you last week when I was in Talladega. So, good to see you. What do you know about Jalen? I think the three of us think it's all just a bunch of hooey.
Well, that's what it is.
It's
a hoax. It's a hoax, and I agree that this is going to be a battle of the quarterbacks, and we need Jalen to be there, because when you look at the matchups, especially our offensive line against their defensive line,
that's the key
ugly
matchup right there.
They got studs.
It's ugly.
We got to be able to run the football.
I mean, let me just give you a couple stats, and I know you know these, the Aggie front seven, right? They've recorded 15 tackles for loss in each of the last two games. They've racked up 14 sacks over the last two games, and they are first in sack rate and tackles for loss per game in the country. Alabama's offensive line, conversely, second worst nationally in protection rate.
Well, and Jalen has a tendency to hold on to the ball.
I understand, but on paper, this looks like something that is not good for Alabama.
No, our line is going to have to play over their heads.
They played a lot better last week. I think Milroe took two sacks, but both were his fault, pretty much, of him just holding on the ball. He's got to learn to throw the ball away. Hopefully, it starts to become fluid. You see this Alabama offense kind of finding an identity here the last 2 weeks, but this is by far, I mean, they're, A&M is like night and day kind of with Mississippi State, missing some guys up front on defense, and Ole Miss is a little weaker up front as well. So this is a completely different team.
This can also create a situation, in Matt's opinion, that when a team is so possessed about getting to a quarterback and bolting across the line of scrimmage and putting all that pressure on the signal caller, that opens it up for the signal caller. And oftentimes, Lars, that leads to 53-yard touchdown scampers.
Yeah, and also, if they're going to be sending pressure, if they can get picked up, we know one of the things that Jalen does really well is he throws a beautiful deep ball.
He does.
A beautiful, accurate deep ball.
Absolutely.
And it almost is illogical, the fact that he can't hit these intermediate throws, but yet he can hit, 45 to 52-yard throws very consistently. Matt, I wanted to ask you about the quarterback on the other side, and that's Max Johnson, who's playing in place of the injured Connor Wegman. Max Johnson has looked great since he came in, and you know what? He is really good as well at delivering accurate long throws, and you look at A&M skill players on the edges. I could give Alabama some problems in the secondary. However, Alabama's secondary, is the strength of that defense.
I don't know that they don't have the better quarterback starting, you know, even though they've had injuries. And we were talking about this earlier in the week or on our podcast, which, by the way, James Fan does, twister.fm, plug, plug, plug. But he gave Alabama fits when he was at LSU. And I thought he was one of the main reasons that Texas A&M kicked it into gear and was able to beat Auburn. He is a more than a formidable quarterback. He can start for several teams in this league. He just happens to be a backup at A&M. So I'll ask you, Laura Lee. First of all, thanks for folding my shirt.
Yes.
That was so nice. you're a really cool person. But anyway, assess the quarterback situation, particularly with Max Johnson for the Aggies.
Well, he has shown, and we watched it last week, that he is capable. And we watched it some last year, that he is a capable quarterback. However, so is Jalen Milroe. And his accuracy downfield is pretty darn good. And we may have to win it with his arm. But that's going to take our running backs finding these holes. And our offensive line, like I said before, playing better than they have played so far and opening up some holes for these running backs for us to get that passing game in gear.
Peyton, on campus among the students, the level of apprehension about this game on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being the least, 10 being the most.
It's at least an 8. It's got to be. And like when you look at exactly what you said, Max Johnson, that's about as good of a backup as you can ask for. You know, Connor Wegman goes down. He's inexperienced anyway, but Max Johnson's been around the block. He played really well last week. I know Arkansas is a little weaker on defense this year, probably. But guys like Evan Stewart and Smith. I mean, they got some players on the outside for sure, and it's going to give test this Alabama secondary that's been so strong. I think this is a real test of Alabama's offensive line, though. Is it for real? Like, they've looked like they've improved since the second half of the Ole Miss game. Is this really for real? I mean, I think A&M's going to mix up looks, give them different pressures from different directions. If they can pick those up, that'll open up running lanes for Milroe, and that's where he flashes his talent. I mean, and as well as the deep ball, that's where it's just tangibles with Milroe. It's just so much. It's about as strong as you can ask for, but the intangible parts, that's where the intermediate throwing comes in. And I think the most encouraging thing, honestly, if you're an Alabama fan, is like when you think about fresh legs. Last week they had 200 rushing yards. No one ran for more than 70 yards. So that's like an underrated thing where you can get a different guy in there and give them different looks. So like a change of pace sort of thing, which is, I think, plays in Alabama's favor a little bit, but it's going to be a challenge, no question.
O-line, everybody agree?
O-line.
Alabama's the O-line game. That's what is going to happen. So, hey, we are at NS Free, and we're going to be here until 2 o'clock. Of course, you're welcome to come by now throughout the weekend. Come by here and watch the game on CBS. It's a 2:30 kickoff from College Station, so we've got all that going on. And as we go to break, I will remind you at the bottom of the hour, Mick Gillespie will be with us, and always enjoy his company, especially since I can always pull him aside for just a few minutes and talk a little bit of baseball. The Braves start their series with the Phils tomorrow afternoon at 5, so I'm going to have to be somewhere, and NS3 would be perfect, correct? Because I can watch all of it.
What's up with all the sweeps?
Four. Four sweeps.
Oh, I didn't like it.
By the way.
Moses Malone.
By the way, I had something that I was watching. I was watching the game, the Rangers and the Rays. I heard a stat about the Tampa Bay bullpen that is going to blow you away. I mean, blow you away. Also, the code this hour to win 300K by going to the Tide 100.9 app. The code number is 392. Punch that in. Your chance to win $30,000. That's 300K. Drop by and see us. We're at Ennis Free at the top of the strip in downtown Tuscaloosa.
The game of
Thompson is known as the Bama Broker. She's a Tuscaloosa native, an Alabama graduate, and the only realtor in town with Wall Street experience. A skilled negotiator, Laura Lee knows how to buy low and sell high. And the Bama Broker isn't just going to show you houses. No, Laura Lee is going to educate you on the market, guide you to homes that fit your budget, and teach you how to sell your home for its maximum profit. Throughout the entire process, the Bama Broker will equip you with the tools you need to both buy a home and build financial wealth through home ownership. Trust me, the Bama Broker, who's as roll tide as houndstooth, will get you across the goal line. That's Laura Lee Thompson, the Bama Broker with Advantage Realty Group. You can reach her at 205-790-7229. Again, that's 205-790-7229. And you can also email her at LauraLee@TheBamaBroker.com. That's LauraLee@TheBamaBroker.com.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
We'll maintain the chance of a few scattered rain showers this afternoon, mostly cloudy with a high at 79. Tonight, showers ending this evening, clearing after midnight, the low 52. Tomorrow, sunny, breezy, and cool, the high at 67. I'm James Spann on the ABC 3340 Weather Center on Tide 100.9. It's 77 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
From T-Town to the Plains, this is Alabama's most in-depth analysis on the SEC. This is Big Noon Sports.
Lots of good wings, burgers, all kinds of beer. Robbie, what is that, a big old Irish Guinness?
Yeah,
big old Guinness. He's sipping on that. Robbie will join us in just a little while. But we are going to be here until 2 o'clock as Big Noon Sports broadcasts live every Friday in the football season from right here. We appreciate it. Come by and see us. And, you know, we don't want to toss in a phone call. We can take those just as we do normally during the week at 205-342-9904. Got to tell you this story from the baseball game the other day, Lars, because you are our word man. You are a wordsmith. And you have always admired the fact that my sweet wife, Karen, works diligently on what?
The New York Times crossword puzzle. Karen can do the Monday, the Tuesday, wow, the Wednesday, the Thursday, the Friday, the Saturday, the Sunday. Lars Anderson can do the Monday sometimes.
Yeah.
Well, I got no chance on Tuesday.
I know what a big fan you are of that and what a challenge it is, but I'm listening to the game the other night. That's what the Tampa Bay Devil Rays, they have two or three of their relievers in the bullpen. They work it every single day to its completion. Now, they got three guys on it, but still, I think that's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why they stunk in the playoffs.
So
they were not good.
Hey, break down Atlanta in their upcoming series with the Phillies.
You're a Braves fan too, right, Peyton?
No, I'm a Cubs fan, oddly enough. But
I think we talked about that. Bless your heart. Here's your microphone. It's four. Now, the Braves have had a little bit of struggle at starting position, starting, you know, with Max Fried. They've already made it known that Charlie's not going to be able to start. The bullpen's banged up. I'm worried about them. I said this before they started the series. Please, Miami, win this because I don't want to place Bryce Harper. I don't want to face Bryce Harper and the Philadelphia Phillies. I just don't want to do it. That being said, I'm all about it. 5 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. Who do you like in all this?
I think the big factor here is the fact that the Phillies have hit Spencer Strider pretty well this season. I think they put up like 6 runs in their last game with them. The Phillies are just so dangerous that it's going to be a fun series. I think it's like what a baseball fan like me, whose team got eliminated by the Atlanta Braves, but like for me as a baseball fan, it's not what you want to see. I mean, I wish it were a best of seven matchup, but because I think it's just be so close.
Well, but it doesn't get that way until you get to the championship series and so forth. Yeah. Anyway, I will be a master of my remote control tomorrow, or I'll come here and I can watch all of them at once.
I was reading the Dallas Morning News this morning, and they have a sports department basically of seven, and all seven made a prediction of A&M Alabama game. What do you guys think? How many of the seven picked A&M to win this game? Laura Lee.
Well, probably most of them.
Give me a number.
Well, there are seven. Let's say six out of seven.
Matt?
I'd say four.
Five.
Zero.
Wow. Really?
Every single one of them picked Alabama to win this game. And
Dallas Morning News?
Yes. And
are they Texas fans?
Do they know something we don't?
They may be Texas. Exactly. Who I really respect is Max Chadwick of Pro Football Focus. He does a really good job, and he predicts Alabama 27-21. My prediction was Alabama 24-23. Comes down to a two-point conversion that Jimbo goes for the win on the last play of the game, and Dallas Turner gets the sack of Max Johnson.
I don't know if I could handle it. That'll stop everyone's heart here.
That would be a tough one to win it.
But it's interesting. Jerry Palm at CBS, he picks Alabama. Not that this really means all that much, but there's a couple of people. Chris Hummer, he takes, A&M. Brad Crawford, he takes Alabama. But everybody is projecting, and those guys are both of 24/7 Sports. Pretty much everybody's projecting this to be an incredibly close game. Going to come down to most likely turnovers, penalties, and just who makes the fewest mistakes.
Well, and who's been more prone to those?
Well, until last week, Jalen Milroe. But you know what? Jalen Milroe's coming off of his best game of the season, without question. Wouldn't you say, Peyton?
No question.
What was your – did you go to the game?
No. I was in Mississippi watching on a big screen, but I was
– your ears ringing through the television because of the Cowboys?
Oh, yeah. And I was getting fired up when Saban was going after Terrion Arnold and Malik Benson. I like seeing that for
great
sure.
Great stuff.
Vintage. Prime Saban.
He said he wasn't really sure he was coming after him, but then he realized –
I saw that. Yeah.
And then now everybody's doing these deep dives and really wonderful stories about, okay, I remember when he blessed me out. I remember when he chewed my butt. But that's a part of everyday life if you're Nick Saban and a player. It's just the fact that it's like the A.J. McCarron, the spank on the butt. Everybody saw it, and that magnifies it. But Saban's chewing everybody out except for Miss Terry.
Well, and I think we're all happy Miss Terry told him to go after him, because that's who we like to see. That's our Nick Saban, and we have not seen it that much this year.
And from Terrion Arnold's perspective, how mature is it for him to say, I'm not listening to the tone of the way he's saying it, I'm just listening to the words that he's saying more than the tone, so I'm trying to internalize everything. I think Terrion Arnold, in terms of, most improved players, I think he's most improved player on the team.
He's playing great.
By far, he's playing incredible.
He had a rough season in 22.
Yeah, he got benched for Elias Ricks.
But you're right. I mean, he's playing to the level of Kool-Aid and Malachi.
Yeah. Absolutely.
That says a lot.
Yeah. And Caleb Downs also, the last two games, I think he's got 10 tackles in both games. Ever since he got lit up by a USF running back, he's been playing out of his mind.
And some terrific pass breakups.
Yeah, for sure. That secondary, the secondary is the strength. That's probably the top unit in the country. You can make that argument at least. But
it's hard to believe Caleb Downs can play that position where last year he was playing in 6A.
And you saw him grow up a little bit before your eyes in the Texas game. He got burned a little bit, but, it seems to be kind of clicking for him so fast, too. Nick Saban, raves about the kid, so.
Peyton, through 5 weeks, five games, what's your biggest surprise in a good way and your biggest surprise in a bad way about this Alabama team?
Well, my biggest surprise in a bad way would be the quarterback situation, how it kind of – but it's unfolded hopefully in a good way now. And my best – I think my favorite surprise is the – I think the way Kevin Steele's calling the defense now, where you saw what we were complaining about a few weeks ago against Texas. They're letting Quinn Ewers just sit back there and get whatever – he wants. I think now he's sending off-ball blitzes and stuff from different directions. And you know he loves blitzing. So I want to see more of that. And, you always want to get after college quarterbacks. It'll affect them, every single one, poorly, maybe except for Caleb Williams. But that's been my favorite surprise, has been the way the defensive front seven has played in the last few weeks.
How about you, Laura Lee? Same question. Biggest surprise, both positive and negative.
Well, I think one of the biggest surprises has been our wide receivers have become more of a strength when we thought they might be a liability, and they've gotten better. Then we have this tight end group that is very solid and, in fact, might have a little bit of star power on there. And maybe biggest surprise, our punter. I mean, he's been able to flip the field. And so, once again, we may look at special teams because we have a very solid special teams. And Texas A&M falls a little short on that. And they're not, what were they, 11 of 15 field goals, something like that. So,
Leichert, meanwhile, has made 22 in a row.
Yeah.
This is the type of game where special teams means everything. It's all about
especially
field position.
Barnup, you make a great point. Barnup in a game that's obviously going to be field position, you pin them inside a 10, you can keep doing that. Eventually, that's going to pay off with your offense when you have the shorter field.
What we did on the 1-yard line. Who was that, Kendrick Law, that had bomb weight? Pinned Mississippi State on the 1. That was brilliant. Speaking, 67 yards.
Speaking of the wide receiver group, I'm hearing things already about how teams across the country are absolutely going to raid Alabama for these former five-star wide receivers because they're looking to leave. Why? Because they're not getting thrown the ball very much because Alabama's offense has fundamentally changed with Jalen at quarterback.
Guess where else that's going to hurt? Recruiting. Yeah. But where's that Julio? They managed to do that, didn't they?
Yeah.
But
I don't know if you were anything like that, Peyton.
I wouldn't say. I think you're right about the receiving core. I think it's just no matter what, you're going to get poached from all directions. It's just the day of college football that we're in. But I think Laura Lee brings up a great point. The receiving core has been fantastic this year in terms of just the opportunities that they've been giving. And it's like it was a weakness last year, obviously. And now it's probably something that can prop up Milroe more than, Milroe having to prop them up.
Right, and this might be the game because we're more than likely going to have to beat them with the arm.
Well, that's sure what Jimbo's going to try and do. They're going to try and make Jalen Milroe beat them. But, by the way, we've already lost, Anderson, JoJo Earl?
Aaron Anderson, JoJo Earl,
And Anderson was flying.
They love him at LSU. They love him. Yeah.
Who's Alabama's go-to? Prentice?
I think Isaiah Bond's the best one in there. But Jermaine Burton was playing his best football before. I think he's a little nicked up. Was it a game time decision? Yeah. So is Deontay Lawson. So is Terrence Ferguson. You could use those guys.
I think Lawson's going to play.
Yeah, they said he practiced fully.
Crawford, I was just pleasantly surprised, as I'm sure Saban was, the way he filled in, not only at that position, but his play calling. You're the quarterback on defense. Yep. He did great.
And Jahad Campbell, the sophomore, he's played his best football for sure. And
you know this roster pretty well.
I try, but always. I'll be prepared.
It's going to be a very, very interesting football game, and we're going to talk with Mick Gillespie about it when we finish up. Come back on the other side of this break as we continue to broadcast Big Noon Sports on this gorgeous Friday afternoon. Don't you love Tuscaloosa right now? It's a little overcast. I don't care. Temperature's down. I read on the way over here that temperatures in Alabama will be down in the 40s. I guess in the northeast corner, it's going to be down, did I say, here in the 30s? That's crazy. You're listening to Big Noon Sports. We are at Ennis Free. It's the Friday place to be. Come by. I have the meat and three lunch menu. Their lucky lunch is available. It's right here. And we invite you to come by, have a cold beer, enjoy your lunch as we get ready to send the Tide, I guess they're already there, to Texas A&M for what may be, I know you got the Red River rivalry, but this is one of the two or three biggest games in college football. What else this weekend? It's Alabama.
Ah.
Securing the best mortgage possible requires a lender who has knowledge, is trustworthy, and treats customers like family. And no one is better at all of this than the mortgage miracle worker, Haley Sansing. Based right here in Tuscaloosa, Haley Sansing has spent decades working in the mortgage industry. With Haley, it's personal, holding your hand from contract to close. With Haley, it's about one thing, you. Call Haley on her cell, yes, her cell, 205-792-1813. That's 205-792-1813. Let Haley help you.
NLMS number 230376.
More Big Noon Sports coming up.
Hey, welcome back to the program. It's Big Noon Sports. Matt Colter, Lars Anderson, Peyton is with us, along with Laura Lee. Laura Lee, just quickly, we're going to bring on our guest, Mick Gillespie. Tell everybody how to get in touch with you. You are the Bama broker.
Yes, you can get in touch with me on social media at the Bama broker. You can email me at Laura Lee at the Bama Broker, or better yet, call me 205-790-7229. You can also call me at Advantage Realty.
I'm going to give you a little heads up on this because I'm going to ask you something later in the show you need to think about. I got my property tax yesterday.
Yes.
We go into that a little bit later. I want to bring in Mick, but I just went, what? And I'm not the only one in my neighborhood and all around us. It just went, my goodness, how much can they grow? Peyton, did you have to worry about that?
Not yet.
Do you?
Okay. Not yet.
Hey, Mick, all this chatter going in is free. You know where we are, don't you?
Yeah, I love Innisfree. I wish I was there with you guys out there in England.
Yeah, because they have yours on tap front and center right here. Mick. Can we talk baseball for just a second? Because I know everybody wants to hear your opinions on what's going to happen at College Station this weekend. But I'll start with my Braves. I'm worried about their starting pitching and some injuries in the bullpen. And I don't like the matchup with the Phillies whatsoever.
Yeah, I'd be worried, too. You know, the Phillies are coming in with so much momentum. I mean, how about that series against the Marlins where they just ripped right through them? That team got so close to the World Series last year. And honestly, I think they're the second best team in the National League. They just, you know, they weren't going to catch the Braves in the regular season. But I really like the Phillies in this series. But you're not going to count the Braves out either. You know, you just got to see is Schrader going to be able to go out there and get them a win. And they're just using guys that aren't proven. And I feel like the Phillies are coming in full speed.
Let's take a look at Alabama traveling to College Station. Keys to victory for Alabama.
Well, I think first thing is just to make sure that they run out a healthy Jalen Milroe. I mean, I think they're going to need him in this game. There's definitely been some questions from, you know, around the country on that, on his health. You know, Alabama saying he's going to be okay. I think that he's got to be healthy and ready to protect the football and keep Alabama in situations where they're not putting the defense in bad field position, because I think this is going to be a game that's won and lost on the line of scrimmage and with the defense. And so that's why I feel like it's so important for the offense to make Texas A&M and Max Johnson have to go the length of the field. And I don't think they'll be able to do that against Alabama's defense.
Yeah, Mick, so you've seen Alabama kind of fall out of the top 10, kind of out of the national title conversation a little bit after the Texas game. You think this is a game that kind of restarts the Alabama hype train and gets them back into that conversation of first-tier contenders?
I mean, they got to win the game. I think they got to win it and be dominant. You know, I don't know that Alabama's up there with those teams right now. You know, with the Texas who they lost to and Ohio State who beat Notre Dame on the road. But I think they could get there. I mean, they have a defense to rely on. You saw Georgia win with a similar formula the last 2 years. They're going to have to go into this environment, which is going to be really tough. You know, I do a podcast twice a week with Jay Coker. He said it's the loudest place he ever played. And Alabama lost there last time. So they got to win this game, and then they come back, and they got to take care of business. If they went out, you know, they'd be right in that mix again. But the line, this is the closest line that we've had against one of these teams, like a Texas A&M, Tennessee-type team in a long time. you know, at one or around one. And that tells you what Vegas thinks of Alabama right now. So can they get back in it? Yes. But, you know, for me, I mean, I just hope that they go in there and block and take care of business on Saturday. And if they win by a point, I'd be happy.
Well, when you look at the two quarterbacks that are in play, and with Max Johnson taking over at A&M, how would you compare the quarterbacks?
Well, I mean, I think that that Max Johnson has the experience of playing against Alabama when he was at LSU. Last game, he turned it over three times. But they don't want him to run the ball. They want him to stay in the pocket and avoid taking hits, and partly because Texas A&M really doesn't have an experienced third-string quarterback at all, and he's a second-string guy. You know, his job is going to be to try to get the ball to guys like Anaya Smith, who we heard from earlier this week, and he's ready to play against Alabama. And a lot of people feel like he's one of the best backup quarterbacks in the comp, you know, that you didn't really lose a whole lot, you know, bringing him in. You know, as far as Jalen Milroe goes for Alabama, you know, they're going to try to keep him in the pocket. They're going to try to make him throw out of the pocket. Alabama only threw the ball last game 12 times. He got sacked some. Alabama's getting sacked more than any other team in the conference, and Texas A&M leads the conference in sacks, and they expect to be able to put pressure on him. But I think if you're Alabama, you run the ball at him and then pick your spot. The Texas A&M secondary isn't good, so if you can get by the pass rush, well, then you could probably do some damage in that, you know, with the Alabama wide receivers. So that's the kind of game I'm expecting. I think it's going to come down to turnovers. And whoever has the least amount of turnovers is going to win.
I think it's going to come down to special teams, and that's Burnup and Will Reichert. And I think that we've certainly got the strength there.
Yeah, look, if that's the case, I'd be comfortable with that as well. I mean, you know, Will Reichert looks like he could be kicking in the NFL right now. So, you know, he's been great. Burnup's been pinning teams back. You know, I think if it comes down to special teams, I'd give Alabama the advantage in that category for sure.
Nick, just on the offensive side of the ball for Alabama, who do you think could be an X factor, somebody that we're not talking about that perhaps could have a breakout game?
Yeah, like Tyler Booker. You know, I'd love to see him just open up some holes for the running backs, and, you know, maybe a Roydell Williams type of game, you know, where he's in there grinding it out. Chase McClellan, you know, being from Texas, I mean, I'm sure he'd love to have a big game. I'm one of those two guys. Maybe Holden, you know, making some catches. Jermaine Burton's been kind of big. I think it's going to be one of those old school, you know, line them up, three clouds and a dust type game for Alabama. And, you know, if Jalen Milroe's healthy, and I know he's definitely not an unsung hero, but, I mean, I could see him breaking off a big run and being the difference in the game. But don't forget about the tight ends either. I mean, this is a very similar offense at times to what the Ravens do, where you got, you know, two, three tight ends in there. And we got guys that can catch. And Amari Niblack's really a good player. You know, I mean, like, he does things with the football. He's hard to bring down. He's got good hands. So maybe him. You know, maybe he's kind of that guy you're thinking of.
Wow. As my dad would say, the cat farted. But, okay. The inside joke
was so
here.
Audible.
Yeah.
No, people are just driving around. I'm
sorry.
Mick, could you hear that?
No.
Okay. All right.
Although we're probably making a big deal out of something we shouldn't.
Just a quick follow up, Mick. You think this is a game where Alabama really wants to bleed clock, have long offensive possessions, limit the amount of possessions that Texas A&M has, and make this into a 2009 type of slugfest that was the hallmark of Alabama's first national championship team under Saban?
I think that's part of it, but I think that this team is more explosive than 09 was in a few ways. You know, Milroe has just this amazing arm, and I think Alabama's going to try to play that type of style and then pick their spot and look for the deep ball to score. But like I said before, I think on defense that if they force Max Johnson to have to drive the length of the field, I think the chances are that he's going to make a mistake. And this defense has been they've been ball hawking this year. The secondary that Alabama has might be the best that Nick Saban's had as head coach. They don't even throw on Kool-Aid side of the field. You know, so maybe he gets a chance to see some balls this week. But, you know, Malachi Moore's been so great at the star position. Dallas Turner's having a fantastic season, too. You know, he's in the backfield a lot. And it's not just the sacks. It's that he affects a lot of plays that you know, with being in the backfield or opening up holes for other guys. And this defense looks really focused and hungry. So I think, like I said, I think Alabama takes their shot when they're there. They try to basically run the ball and then you know, force Texas A&M to sell out to stop the run, throw over top of them, and then on defense, just force Max Johnson to go the length of the field and look for a mistake.
I think we talked about kind of the offensive line. It's a little polarizing at this point. You don't really know how to view them. They played a really strong last game and a half, but we're so, you know, we talked about pass protection winning rate, one of the worst in the entire Power Five. How do you view this Alabama offensive line at this point?
Well, I mean, I think part of this is not just, you know, the offensive line. I mean, part of it is, well, I mean, you know, not blocking. Look, Seth McLaughlin has to snap the ball consistently, and that's been the biggest disappointment of the entire season to me. And whether it's him or the snap count or whatever the excuse is, the quarterback and the snapper need to be on the same page, you know, the center. And that has to happen. And it hasn't happened yet cleanly for an entire game. But I think that's one of the reasons why. The other reason why, obviously, you know, inexperience on the line and guys in the backfield. And then the other thing's been that Milroe's kind of caused some of these sacks. You know, he holds the ball too long sometimes. You know, what they call that, burping the baby. You know, he's got to get rid of it. You know, I think with him, for right now, as he learns progressions and reading defenses, I would say 1-2 run or 1-2 throw it away. But don't take the sack. Get rid of the football. And I think if he does that, and as he does that, it's going to help the defense out because he doesn't have to make a big play for this team to win. Basically, what he has to do is just keep the other team as far back as you can do and then wait for the defense to do something and take advantage of it.
There is such a fine line between taking a sack and throwing it away. And the only way you define it is through experience. And Alabama can hope that he is to that level. I haven't seen it 100%.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but don't you think he's holding on to it because he doesn't want to make that mistake?
He's been coached into not making mistakes to the point where
processing from the, like, 5 to 20 yards is not as strong as you'd like to see it. I think he can, you know, that's the intangibles that we talk about that, you know, comes with experience, but it certainly has all the ability. We know that.
The million-dollar question of the day concerning Alabama quarterbacks is coming up, and we're going to pose that to Mick Gillespie as we continue to broadcast live on our Friday Place to Be. That's Innisfree. Come by and have some lunch and a cold beer.
Go inside the Alabama Crimson Tide with the Gary Harris Show.
Hey, everybody, it's Gary Harris. Monday mornings are fun on the Gary Harris Show on Tide 100.9 FM. Coming up at 9 o'clock on Monday, we'll recap Alabama and Texas A&M with Rodney Orr, plus Casey Smith on golf. Your phone calls, 9 a.m., the Gary Harris Show on Tide 100.9 FM.
Catch the Gary Harris Show Monday through Friday, 9 to 11 a.m. on Tide 100.9 and Tide100.9.com.
Hey, this is Reagan, owner of R&R Cigars, the Cigar Mansion in downtown Tuscaloosa, located at 2703 6th Street across from the Home 2 Suites. Come down to R&R and see why we're the ultimate cigar and bourbon experience. With over 165 bourbons and 5 private barrels, our selection of bourbon is unmatched. We have the best cocktails around and our cigar selection is legendary. Our lounge and service are world-class. Come and experience the luxury of the mansion and see why it's a world-renowned cigar and spirits destination.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
We'll maintain the chance of a few scattered rain showers this afternoon, mostly cloudy with a high at 79. Tonight, showers ending this evening, clearing after midnight, the low 52. Tomorrow, sunny, breezy, and cool, the high at 67. I'm James Spann on the ABC 3340 Weather Center on Tide 100.9. It's 77 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
This is the Big Noon Sports Network.
Free
Irish Pub. The lucky lunch menu is intact. Let's see. All right, Larley, if you were ordering the meat and three, which is only $9.99, you have to quickly tell me. Because you got the Kaneka and onions the other day. Pretty good. But
yeah, it's pretty
good.
What
would you order today?
Well, maybe.
More fried pickles.
Yeah, which we already did.
Extra mustard.
Yeah.
Gosh, I don't know. It all looks so good. I mean, country fried steak, which I don't normally eat. But you know what? My husband said the shepherd's pie was really good.
I don't eat that very often, but now would be a good time. All right. Last night, James Spann was a media guest on Hey Coach with Nick Saban. And one of the questions, and we all know that James Spann may be the national king of social media.
Yeah.
I mean, he has millions and millions, like 30 million followers. It's just, so he asked Nick Saban, he read on social media that hamstring pull by Milroe. Had you heard that, Mick, and your reaction to it, and is this just a hoax that we probably shouldn't propagate? Yo, man.
Yeah, can you guys hear me?
Yeah, we got you.
Okay. Yeah, yesterday I started to get asked by people that I know out in Las Vegas, and one of those guys came on my YouTube channel and talked about it, and Kenny White, who has been handicapping in Vegas for his entire life. Dad did it, now he does it, about the line. Because the first thing that I noticed was the line was like 7, then it was like 4.5, and then it was like 1. And I haven't looked at it recently, but you don't see a line fall like that unless they think something's going on. And he told me that that they had a report from one of their guys that they get information from that Milroe wasn't going to play, that he got hurt in practice. So, you know, I asked around, and that's not the feeling that I got from the people that I know at Alabama. But I don't know. Something's going on. I mean, you know, whether they want to say it or not, you know, something's going on because of that line. You know, whether they're wrong out in Vegas or not, but they're pretty good at knowing when something's happening. So I hope that it was one. Maybe it's one of those things where he got hurt earlier in the week, or somebody got some bad information. I don't really know. But the line itself, and the fact that, you know, that these guys are coming on the record and saying, hey, I got information from a guy that does this for a living, and this is why the line's moving, tells me that there's smoke. And I don't know if there's fire, but it feels like there's something going on to me.
Yeah, if that is true and Milroe is limited, what do you want to see from this, from Tommy Rees and the Alabama offense to adjust to that? Because you know, Milroe's legs are going to be a big factor in any game. But say he's limited, where do you want to see Tommy Rees turn the game plan to?
Yeah, I mean, that would be really tough, because part of Milroe's biggest attribute is that he can run, and it's explosive running, you know. And, I mean, you'd have to hand the ball off a lot. And again, you'd still take chances throwing the ball, but I'd be really concerned about him not being mobile, because, you know, we know that when he's in the pocket for too long and he doesn't throw the ball away and he holds on to it, bad things happen for Alabama. So I guess that's why the spread is almost at a pick'em right now, because what do you do if you're Tommy Rees? You know, that's the million-dollar question, and it's not like you feel comfortable with the two backups. Simpson was better than Buckner, and then, and Laudergan was better than both of them in practice and in the 8A game, but we've never seen him play in a game before. You know, he doesn't have the experience. So this is it's a really tough situation for Alabama if Milroe is limited or hurt or out.
Well, it seems like that perhaps that might be a bunch of bunk, so hopefully we don't have to worry about that. As far as the offensive line, our offensive line against their defensive line, I think a lot of people are concerned about that. So what are your thoughts on how Alabama may be able to rise up and help us out?
I mean, I think it just comes down to, you know, basically getting a good push and guys winning their battles, their individual battles, and taking care of their assignment. I think the offensive line has heard this all week. I'm sure they've seen that Texas A&M and their players have made it clear that they don't think that this Alabama team stacks up to Alabama teams from the past. I mean, Anaya Smith pretty much said that in his press conference. So the motivation's there. I think it's just, you know, basically just beat the guy in front of you and open some holes and run the football. And I'd say even if Milroe is healthy and it is a bunch of bunk, I that's not my gut feeling, but, you know, if I hope that's the case, then you just got to go out there and win your individual battles and run the football.
Well, the biggest concern to me is what you just talked about, and that's the moving of the line. And they don't move the line unless they really know something. So maybe they do.
Yeah, exactly.
I tend to think that it's just a bunk. But by the way, the line was moving in that direction anyway. So
not
maybe
that
it's just
much.
A it won yesterday?
Was that before the?
Yeah, I think so. Now I could be corrected on that. I don't keep up with that as much as you do, obviously. But where's your money going? As long as we're talking. Should I ask?
I'm not sure.
Okay, good. And by the way, we'll know it's bottom of the hour because yes, Reagan will be along. Yeah. All right, is it the O-line? Is it that what that Alabama has to establish tomorrow? Is that it, Mick?
Yeah, I think they've got to be physical, and I think they got to run the football. Don't turn it over, play field position, and set the defense up. You know, I'm sure if Alabama wins the toss, you know, you'll defer to the second half and try to do some stuff with the defense. And I'm so curious about this game. I mean, there's just so many different factors right now that we don't know, question mark. But if I was Alabama and Milroe was banged up, I wouldn't let Texas A&M know. I mean, because if we don't know, they don't know. So, I mean, there's also gamesmanship that goes into this. But this is one of the most curious games Alabama's played in a long time.
Mick, this is the obligatory Nebraska volleyball question. I mean, Nebraska football question. Nebraska is playing Illinois tonight in Champaign, and in all thoughts are going to be with Dick Butkus and his family. We lost Dick Butkus yesterday. Pound for pound, probably the greatest defensive player of all time. Just your thoughts on Dick Butkus.
Yeah, look, I was watching Monday Night Football last night, and, you know, Butkus was a great Bear, and it's kind of ironic that they were playing on Thursday, you know, and we lost Butkus. I thought he was awesome in the media. I always liked listening to him, you know, on different sports shows, talking about football. He had a passion for the game, not just the Bears, but the game in general. And he's one of the all-time greats. I mean, when you hear the name Dick Butkus, I mean, it's, you know, you know exactly who you're talking about. I mean, I don't think there's many people that like football that don't know who he is. He lived a great life. And, you know, he's one of those guys who you think about when you think about the Hall of Fame.
Indeed, and I think we need to go into greater detail about the Hall of Fame. I mean, you talk about legend. I mean, he defined linebacker in many ways. We'll talk more about that. Hey, tell everybody where they can pick you up this weekend, Mick.
Yeah, hey, check me out. YouTube, Bama Tailgate, got stuff we put on there every day. The Tailgate Show is going to be on tonight from the Fort Bama. I'm actually driving there in about a minute. As soon as I get off with you guys, 5 to 7, and then you can listen to it across the state on radio tomorrow. Hopefully, fingers crossed, Bama's able to get this thing done, and we're laughing about the line in Vegas and all that stuff when we talk next. But roll tide, everybody. Have a great weekend.
All right. Thank you. That's Mick Gillespie. Again, this is Big Noon Sports. We're coming to you live from Innisfree. It's the place to be. It's the Irish pub to be on Friday afternoons and throughout the weekend. So drop by and see us and grab a lucky lunch, a cold beer or a burger or some fried pickles. But when we get back on the other side of the hour, of course, we're going to get our picks with Reagan from R&R Cigars. But I also want to go back to something that I think Laura Lee remembers. Y'all will remember. It was called the Hurricane Bowl. Alabama and Texas A&M. What an amazing game and situation that was back in 1988. That's coming up on Big Noon Sports.
If you're
Sarah Lee Thompson is known as the Bama Broker. She's a Tuscaloosa native, an Alabama graduate, and the only realtor in town with Wall Street experience. A skilled negotiator, Laura Lee knows how to buy low and sell high. And the Bama Broker isn't just going to show you houses. No, Laura Lee is going to educate you on the market, guide you to homes that fit your budget, and teach you how to sell your home for its maximum profit. Throughout the entire process, the Bama Broker will equip you with the tools you need to both buy a home and build financial wealth through home ownership. Trust me, the Bama Broker, who's as roll tide as houndstooth, will get you across the goal line. That's Laura Lee Thompson, the Bama Broker with Advantage Realty Group. You can reach her at 205-790-7229. Again, that's 205-790-7229. And you can also email her at lauralee@thebamabroker.com. That's lauralee@thebamabroker.com.
It's the Tide 100.9 30K Workday Payday.
Woo!
Win cash every weekday 8 to 5. Here's this hour's cash code.
707. Again, that's 707. The code is 707.
Enter that code now on the Tide 100.9 app. Click on the 30K Payday button and enter the code for a chance to win $30,000.
Covering SEC sports like kudzu on the roadside, this is Big Noon Sports.
And we're coming to you live, as we do every Friday between noon and 2, Big Noon Sports from Innisfree Irish Pub right here at the top of the strip in downtown Tuscaloosa. Drop by. We've got lunch, cold beers, beverages, and your favorite cocktail, whatever you want. It's here for the football weekend, and that includes games tonight. You've got Illinois and Nebraska. And tomorrow, it's full slate, including Alabama, Texas. But we've also got the Red River Rivalry. Didn't they used to call this the Red River Shootout? And because of our culture today, we couldn't use gun language in it. Do you remember that, Robbie?
I remember, but I can't remember if they did switch it. No, that sounds about right.
It's like, Washington used to be the Bullets, but now they're the Wizards. I can't go down this road.
Yeah, don't go down that road. There's a lot of changing.
I mentioned going to the top of the hour, the Hurricane Bowl. Laura Lee, you remember it. What do you remember when I say Hurricane Bowl?
Well, I'm going to age myself because I was in college.
I was already out and covering the game. I wasn't there, but okay. But anyway, I got you. Believe me.
Yeah. So it being played in December, and we had just lost to Auburn, if I remember correctly. And
it had to be because Curry never beat Auburn.
Oh, yes. And so we go down there, and we ended up winning the game pretty decisively.
30-10, we kicked their baggy butt.
Yes, we did, which was a much needed win after losing to our rivals. And I do remember one of my friends who ultimately, they drove down there. They were trying to get me in the car to go. And I had to be somewhere, like, on that Sunday, so I couldn't go down there.
Well, it all started when they were supposed to play 3 months earlier. It was played December 1st of 88. They were supposed to play 3 months earlier, but there was a hurricane, I believe it was Gilbert, that was threatening Texas. And Bill Curry picked up the phone. He called people at the airlines in Atlanta. He called weather forecasters, and they said, "Don't get on a bus. Don't get on a plane. You're not going. Don't do that." Well, it turned out Gilbert was kind of a bust and never even got into that part of Texas. But Curry received unmitigated. You remember that, Robbie?
I remember it.
You would have thought he'd stolen something from College Station, and they wore him out for 3 months. And yep. Then you know what happened? Alabama wore them out for 3 hours.
Yep, that's what happens. You start calling us out like that, we're going to come back and whoop you in your house.
Well, it was before you were born, Peyton.
Right?
Are you just reading about it? It was probably before your parents were married. So.
In the textbooks.
Oh, gosh.
But you do read up on it.
Yeah.
But that was one of the more memorable Texas A&M
and Alabama games. And as Alabama, I remember this, believe it or not, I watched that game from a bar. You would know if I could give you the address in New York City. I was up there covering the NASCAR end of the year banquet, and they were awarding Dale Earnhardt Sr. one of his 7 championships. And we said, well, what do we do here? And so we ducked out and we found a little bar that had that. And you'd be surprised how many Alabama fans there are. You wouldn't.
Right.
But there are so many Alabama fans in New York City. It's crazy.
Oh, yes, there are.
And you're a Louisiana guy, right?
Yes, sir. Yes.
I know LSU would be first. Who's the second most popular team in your state?
In terms of colleges?
Yeah.
Probably Tulane or
UL,
maybe. University of Louisiana.
Is Alabama not liked in Louisiana at all?
Well, it is sometimes. I mean, I was definitely an alienated person when it comes to college football. I was one of the ones on Purple and Gold Day at school. I was wearing crimson and white, so that was the cause for some slander on my half, for sure.
You know, guys, I was reading a map about a week ago, obviously, of the United States of America, and they were able to measure how many clicks per college football team there were state by state. You want to guess how many states out of our 50 clicked more on Alabama than any other? How many out of 50?
50.
50 out of 50? Laura Lee, that's a great guess. You guys want to take a shot? I mean, you think of Alabama, and you think of the states surrounding, and you know you're not going to get Tennessee, you're not going to get Georgia, but you'd be surprised how many little bitty states up in New England, like Delaware and Vermont, and then another one that I was surprised is New Mexico. Hey, New Mexico loves the Crimson Tide. There were 14 states that clicked more on Alabama than any other.
I'm glad I didn't guess. I feel like I would have made look like a fool there.
No, I was in the 20s. Well, Laura Lee started us off with 50.
Well, that's why I mean, you can only go down from there.
That's right. But anyway, Robbie Glenn, former Alabama baseball player in front of the show. First of all, update us on how your golf tournament. You may have done that last week, but I've got my Striker Strong t-shirt, and I know everything went well when you had your tournament here a couple weeks ago.
It's hard to believe it's already been a couple weeks, but it went great. The biggest one we've had, probably the best run we've had one. To have that many golfers, that many sponsors and everything in one section at Highland, it went great. Just got dark on us a little bit there at the end. But
well, that happens when you have, like, what, how many?
288 golfers.
Hmm.
Yeah.
That's a little slow play. Slow play, you guys have so much for the golfers to do.
Yeah, there was something to do on almost every hole, I believe. I went to different tents, and they were doing – you know, just games to play with different golfers that were coming up. And, of course, shots were involved or whatever they had, jello shots or different things to have.
Golf shots.
Yeah, golf shots. There we go. Yeah, golf shots.
All right. So, give me your thoughts on what's going to happen tomorrow.
You know, it seems like we talk about this every week. You know, here we are. Bama's going to play against another team that's and everyone's, like, doubting some stuff. I'm seeing Bama get better each week in the positions that they need to get better at. The defense is strong. They're going to keep them in the game. But now we're improving on the line. We're improving on our play calling, hopefully. I believe he's getting smarter with some stuff. Milroe is getting better. I feel like we're going to take this game. I don't think it's going to be a runaway by any means. I think Riker's going to come into play. Our kicking game's strong, and we're going to end up pulling away again. But I think it's still low. Both defenses are strong. 24-10 kind of, 24-13 kind of game. But a win for Bama.
What are your thoughts on Milroe? Is this a hoax, or is he really a little banged up?
I haven't heard that. And then you start watching the lines like they were this morning, it's starting to go back up.
Yep.
2 and 3. So I know people are starting to place bigger bets today and tomorrow. The big guys do. But something was leaked out. Maybe they know he's playing, or that was a hoax, and now the bets are going back. I think it's, what, up to 2.5 now?
Is it?
I didn't know.
It's gone back up.
It's gone down, I think, this morning to around a half.
Yesterday I saw it at a pick 'em.
Yeah.
Like, that's crazy.
So now you're saying it's up to what, 2.5?
2.5 is what last I heard.
Okay. I'm not a gambler. I don't know. But you guys keep up. I keep up a little bit. That means that maybe it's not true.
That's not true. Can't be. I'm ready to show up.
I'm not sure. It's really hard to say, but when you see something like a prospective reporter come out and say, like a blue check, say that it's a hoax, that's right. Whenever you hear something's a hoax, like that's usually something you hear from, like, you know, forums and stuff like that, not from a actual big J journalist. So I'm I'm under the impression that he's okay. You know, my buddy in the, on the training staff says that he's fine. I'm going to go with that. I'm going to say he's okay, but I like having the little mix-up of, you know, what's A&M, you know, what's their reaction to that, all that news.
Well, it's certainly given us a topic today. Well, yeah. You're a red elephant. You're the incoming president, right? What are your sources, sir?
It's a hoax.
Okay.
It's one of those things. There aren't reporters in these practices. You know, and you're talking about the internet. Stuff gets made up all the time. And even you see reporters pick it up. They saw it somewhere and they start announcing it and blah, 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 blah. And I just, I think it's a hoax.
Well, it's social media and we deal with it all the time. I'm going to tell you guys, it also dates me again, but 20 years ago, we wouldn't have touched this story on air.
No.
I mean, it was just not journalistic sound to bring out a story like this on air or in print.
Yeah.
You're just because on AM radio back then, weren't you?
I was on AM radio.
Radio.
I was on television. We had a podcast back then. Don't you remember my podcast in AM? Yeah. All right. Hey, let's take a break. Bottom of the hour. R&R will be with us, and we'll make our predictions. I want to get y'all's thoughts on some of the other games around the nation. As we continue, Innisfree Live will be here until 2. You should be here all weekend on Big Noon Sports.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
We'll maintain the chance of a few scattered rain showers this afternoon, mostly cloudy with a high at 79. Tonight, showers ending this evening, clearing after midnight, the low 52. Tomorrow, sunny, breezy, and cool, the high at 67. I'm James Spann on the ABC 3340 Weather Center on Tide 100.9. It's 77 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
The best sports talk in Alabama. This is Big Noon Sports.
Live from Innisfree, it is the Irish Pub and the place to be on Fridays. We broadcast here every single game, home or away. Since the Tide is on the road, we will be entertaining a lot of people here, I know, tomorrow. They'll just come in and watch the football game. But you're more than welcome to come by here and grab a burger, some fries, and a cold beer as we will broadcast until 2. And I'm sure this place will be packed as it is every Friday and Saturday night throughout the college football season and just throughout the semester. So let's put that in there. All right. We just talked about Alabama and Texas A&M to a certain extent. And we'll get some picks at the bottom of the hour with Reagan from R&R. But I want to ask you, Larley, what you think about Kentucky and Georgia. By the way, if you're one of these people keeping up with the point spread, last time I checked, it was Georgia by 14.5.
Well, I think what we have all seen is that Georgia is very beatable, and I think they should have lost last week. But then you have Brock Bowers, and he's the best player on that team, hands down. And so, unless Kentucky finds a way to contain him, they're going to lose. I think Kentucky has also been a surprise, but they've got a great coach. They've got some good players on there. I think they are going to be a tough team, but it's at Georgia. And so, I think crowd factor and the fact that perhaps they didn't have everything, their act together last week when they went to Auburn thinking, you know, this isn't going to be much of a game. And then they almost got to come, you know, to come a loss.
Yeah, you know, Alabama knows a lot about going to Jordan-Hare Stadium and sleepwalking a little bit. It is the voodoo to a degree. But I think this being in Stanford is like the big factor here. I think Kentucky leans a little bit too much on Ray Davis. I mean, he ran for 280 yards last week. It's going to be hard to lose a game when you do that. But for Kentucky to stay in this game, it's up to Devin Leary, who's an experienced starter for coming from NC State last season. 9-20 for 60 yards last week's not going to get it done. Georgia, I think their secondary can be had, so that's where the matchup that you want to take advantage of and you want to make some big throws. You're going to have a chance to stay in this game because if they start to punt a lot, then it's going to fall. You're going to see this 14.5 and you're going to be like, oh, it's going to go way over that. Like, I think there's a chance Georgia could dominate this game.
Yeah. Robbie, I think George is about to unleash the dogs. I think last week, coupled with Kentucky coming in, and a lot of people are pulling the, you know, the Wildcats' horn here. But it's also, I hate this because I like Stoops. I like Kentucky football, believe it or not. But it's that time of year where they start to fold.
It is. And you're going to Georgia, and Georgia's strength is their defensive line and their linebackers. And Kentucky's known for their running. That running back can go. But their quarterback has to step up, and he hasn't really stepped up all year to me. So that's going to hurt them when you come one-dimensional with Georgia. And I think Georgia stepped up last week. They went to a hostile environment. Like we said, Auburn's tough. And that quarterback showed. Now, he did have the best player in college football I've seen with Brock as his go-to, but still, he stood in there and made some passes. I think he grew up. Now he's going to be at home with his crowd. He's going to step up, and he's going to play good. I expect Georgia to probably handle them pretty good.
Laura Lee is as a longtime Alabama fan and incoming president of the Red Elephant Club. Is Hugh Freeze catching your attention?
Well, yes. I mean, I don't think there's a question that he's a good coach. And he's going to be able to recruit the players. And, you know, I've heard that the players like him. But, you know, I'm not a Hugh Freeze fan.
And you're not an Auburn fan.
Well,
so
no.
Couple those two.
No, I am the opposite of an Auburn fan.
There's a long walk off a short period for Hugh Freeze here before too terribly.
Yeah, but, you know, I think he is someone we're going to have to contend with. You know, his coaching abilities aside, you know, that's the part that I don't really like. But, hey, I went to school with John Cohen. The AD now from at Auburn, and I asked John, I did, I was kind of like shocked that he hired him because John is very straight-laced and by the book, and hey, if he's convinced that all those other issues are behind Hugh Freeze, you know, who am I to say? Everybody deserves a second or third chance.
Third.
Right?
Yeah. What do you think about the Auburn Tigers?
On the outside looking in, it's one of those things where it's like Hugh Freeze is not going to be very likable to some people around the SEC because just on the outside looking in, he ruffled some feathers last week with the guys dropping for fake injuries and stuff like that. But he's beaten, you know, he beat Nick Saban two times in a row. Not many coaches have done that. And it's just kind of his brash, like, gung-ho spirit that kind of, I think that attracts players. And I think in terms of Brian, like, compared to Brian Harsin, who's kind of vanilla in a way, except he had that scandal, of course, but like as a coach, kind of vanilla. I think Hugh Freeze brings that brashness that they want to, that Auburn loves as a program. And so I think that they're going to be better for it. I think it was the right hire for sure.
Rob, yeah. I know
you know me and Auburn,
stand up
but,
for the Tigers.
Yeah, you know, it's Auburn. But Hugh Freeze scares me. I mean, he is an offensive-minded coach, and he has had Saban's number. And then we get to the end of the year, it's at their place. So I don't want to look ahead, but they are going to be a little bit more confident, playing a lot better unless, you know, any injuries. But, yeah, that game scares me at the end of the year going to their place.
Well, we've all been down there when Jordan Hare has gotten jacked up. And from the people I've talked to that were there this past weekend, among them Terry Henley, the former running back at Auburn, said that it was in a top five clip as far as the excitement there. So if you get that with Georgia, imagine, Larley, what it's going to be. Will you go? Will you go down to Auburn?
No,
to
I
game?
Do not go to Auburn.
Have you ever been to a game at Auburn?
Oh, yes. I've been down there, but I'm not giving one dime, not one red cent of my money to that county or that school. So, no, I don't go to the game.
Well, how do you really feel about Auburn here?
Well, that's how I feel.
That's how you feel. You know what? I think you're in the majority. Especially around these microphones right here, but it's something for all, not just Alabama, all the Southeastern Conference, Robbie, to get notice of.
Yeah, it is.
Hugh Freeze is here, and he's here to stay, and unless he does something else really, really stupid, which I don't foresee.
No, he's got the backing too. Auburn's ready to be back in the SEC championship eventually, so they think they got their coach. Can you imagine if their Bama rolls in there and a loss knocks them out of the SEC and the national championship? If they run it, you think Auburn's going to be fired up for that game?
That's happened.
There'll be fistfights in the
street.
It has happened. It has
happened,
and that's what when I was.
We got to get through tomorrow first, though.
It's voodoo.
Yeah, we are carting the horse a little bit, but when you start talking about the Iron Bowl, you can talk, you know,
was it 365 days a year about it. Hey, Peyton. Peyton Davis is our guest, and he is a student at the University of Alabama. Who's the best team you've seen so far this year? Give me two or three. I'm not talking about the SEC. It may be in the SEC.
Yeah, well,
but I don't see a defined team.
No.
Mine would be Michigan.
I'm going to say Texas. I saw them up close and personal. The way that they're experienced on the lines of scrimmage on both sides, and then the playmakers they have on in the secondary and then at receiver. I mean, you're not going to find a better receiving core than Xavier Worthy and A.D. Mitchell in the entire country. And then Quinn Ewers is talented enough to get him the ball. And so Michigan, in terms of a complete team, I think that they have the best win in the country, probably coming here and beating Alabama and Brian Denny. I think they're the best team I've seen. Michigan, to me, always I kind of feel is not fraudulent. I think they have a really, really good roster. You know, the offensive line, they push people around and they get that running game going in the Big Ten. But once they play teams out of conference and maybe even Penn State this year, who's got really strong front seven, and then Ohio State, who looks pretty good right now with the win at Notre Dame as well. So I think that my sense of Michigan is that I need them to prove it to me first. I don't think they've really proven much so far. I think Texas is the most proven, legitimate contender to me when I watch them play.
I get the feeling we're all going to have a different team. Laura Lee, best team you've seen so far?
Well, no, I have the same team.
Texas.
Maybe because I watched them. We all were there and watched them play up close and personal. I look forward to watching the game tomorrow before the Alabama game. And I've been following them. But when you look around the country, and, of course, you have the regular names, Ohio State, and you see USC come in, and even Penn State's creeping in, and Michigan. And I've watched all of them. I've watched USC several times. They're not that good. Nobody, you know, this is a down year, I think, around college football in general, because right now the best team is not in the SEC. And when was the last time we said that?
Well, don't you think this is
eight, 9 years ago?
This is what the NCAA really wants with the transfer portal and NIL and all this stuff. They want to see more parity. You know, that was a big topic of conversation a few years back when Alabama and Clemson were going to the championship every year facing each other. But I think this is what the NCAA wants to see before the big, you know, sort of unraveling after this year.
Robbie, I'm going to table your thoughts for just one moment. Steve has been on hold for a while. My bad for not going to him earlier. Hey, Steve, how you doing? What's on your mind?
Ladies and gentlemen. How's everybody?
We're fantastic.
Man, you know what? I got up early today. Lars and Matt, you probably the only ones that appreciate this. It was about 11:15. And I went down to my neighborhood Waffle House.
He lives our dream life.
I tell you what.
Go ahead.
For the money, you cannot beat a Waffle House breakfast. Two eggs, two sausages, hash browns, and a waffle as big as Captain America's shield. I mean, it's hard to beat it. Hey,
yeah,
listen,
and that's your first important meal of the day. So you're off.
That is.
You're off and running, Steve.
Yeah, you know, I won't eat for another 35 or 40 minutes. And it's outstanding. Don't let anybody tell you different. Hey, listen, let me run something by all of you. And I'd like to have Laura Lee, Peyton, all your insights on this. All right, let's play this thing out. Let's just say A&M runs the table from here on out. I hope they don't, because I got no love for Fisher. Let's just say they run the table from here on out, make it to Atlanta, win in Atlanta, and then possibly go to the playoff. Who gets the credit, Fisher or Petrino?
Laura Lee, you're on deck.
Petrino. I mean, what we've seen is so different this year from last year, and absolutely 100% Petrino.
I'm going to lean probably that way too. I mean, you just seen over the last 2 years when, you know, Jimbo Fisher, the main play caller, it's just like he's stuck in the early 2010s. Like he's like not adapting to the modern college game in terms of what you want to see on offense, spreading teams out in motion and all that. So you've seen a little bit more from that this year. And, I think Fisher will get credit because he's the one who recruited the players and got the players there because he's done a great job doing that. But I think Petrino would, people will be like, maybe that was the missing piece for them if they make that run that people were expecting last year.
Yeah, Petrino. But first of all, that'll be all squashed tomorrow when Bama wins.
Yeah,
I like won't matter. But Petrino will get credit.
I would say Jimbo, and a lot of that will come from the Texas A&M supporters, particularly their boosters, because they are trying to find some way to justify that $90 million a year contract. So there you have that. Steve, I look forward to your comments. What else you got?
Well, I was just wondering, if Petrino gets the credit, then what good is Jimbo Fisher?
I don't know. You're gonna say
he had the talent last year and didn't do squat. And then he brings in one coach, and it's changed things completely. Does that make them think we are overpaying Jimbo Fisher? Does this cost him his, no, it won't cost him his job, obviously. But, I'm just curious as to the, you know, the fan base, the national media, as to where to go from here. I know, Jeff Spiegel and I agree that there's still a forest fire to come. Okay, let's just say that Alabama wins tomorrow. Who gets blamed? Fisher or Petrino?
Fisher.
Head coach will get it.
Yeah.
Fisher.
I think any laurels will be tossed for the Petrino, and any of the negative comments they'll go to Jimbo Fisher.
Yeah, he hadn't done anything this year to make his seat any warmer or less warm than it is now. I think he's still in the hot seat a little bit. And a win, you know, winning at home, when I think this is like the most, in terms of a Texas A&M perspective, this is probably like the most winnable game that they played against Alabama over the years. You can argue about that, but like in terms of the way they match up versus Alabama team, I think it plays very much into their favor, and in Kyle Field as well, where it's so intimidating. I'm almost glad it's an afternoon game for the sake of Alabama, because I feel like if Milroe went in there at night, it's going to be crazy anyway. I want to see how he responds to it. That's what I'm most interested in.
Well, he's had a dose of it, you know, last year especially. Yep. So we'll see. Before I let you go, Robbie, I didn't get a chance to ask you who's the most impressive team you've seen so far.
Well, we're going to find out a lot tomorrow, but last time I checked, Georgia's still number one team to be knocked off. But Oregon, strong with how many points, but have they played anybody? Florida State, very strong, but they're newcomers. I want to see how it matches up tomorrow. We're going to see if we manhandle Texas A&M, then that means Miami's not as strong as we thought they were. Kind of follow my little path that we haven't really seen anybody match up.
We're just getting into the conference play now.
We're just now getting into the big play. And so I want to see how they handle actual competition. Let's see how Oregon handles Washington. Let's see how Washington handles Oregon. You're not going to score 70 points on them. If they do, then Oregon's for real.
What happened with Miami is still a little bugaboo. I mean,
is Miami that good?
Where was that Texas A&M defense back then?
But is Miami that good?
It's the secondary. The running game, Miami had no success on the ground. It's Tyler Van Dyke and the way he was able to throw that night. And I remember back in the spring when there were whispers of Tyler Van Dyke maybe transferring here, which, you know, maybe you would have liked that. I'm still going to give Milroe some credit. I'm going to give him some time to adjust. Still excited about him.
Again, it's going to come down to Alabama being able to run the ball and then throw the ball on that.
Absolutely.
Our tight end's got to get in play tomorrow.
And they will. And Alabama used them. They have used them effectively pretty much every game this year. All right, Steve, thanks for your call. We got to get out of here for just a moment and come back, and we'll be talking with Reagan of R&R Cigar. The mansion is literally about 10 blocks from here, so maybe that's our stop on the way out here. You're listening to Big Noon Sports. We're coming to you live from Innisfree.
To win.
Ball game, Alabama wins.
Built for championships.
Heading for the pylon. Get the race. Wins the race. Touchdown, Alabama.
Built by Bama. The Crimson Tide play here. Join us Saturday as the Crimson Tide take on Texas A&M at Kyle Field. Our coverage begins at 11:30 on your home for Alabama football.
Brought to you by Birmingham Racecourse. BirminghamRacecourse.com. You can be a winner, too.
Hi.
Securing the best mortgage possible requires a lender who has knowledge, is trustworthy, and treats customers like family. And no one is better at all of this than the mortgage miracle worker, Haley Sansing. Based right here in Tuscaloosa, Haley Sansing has spent decades working in the mortgage industry. With Haley, it's personal, holding your hand from contract to close. With Haley, it's about one thing, you. Call Haley on her cell, yes, her cell, 205-792-1813. That's 205-792-1813. Let Haley help you.
NLMS number 230376.
From T-Town to the Plains, this is Alabama's most in-depth analysis on the SEC. This is Big Noon Sports.
Coming live from Ennis Free, right here at the top of the strip, downtown Tuscaloosa, the Irish Pub. And drop by here all day long, grab some cold beer, whatever you desire to eat. Whether I had one of their Chicago hot dogs last week, or week before last, because I wasn't here last Friday, but I missed it. But it was pretty darn good. If you've ever had a real Chicago hot dog, you know what I'm talking about. Okay. Speaking of hot dogs, let's go to Reagan with R&R as we're going to get his picks. And Reagan, I got to jump out here in front of the bus that is called Lars Anderson. He called Colorado, and man, thanks to primetime and the Buffaloes, they came back and covered. Way to go, Lars.
Not only covered.
Have you been waiting for this all day, all
week? I have. You know, you've seen me. I had to take two segments off because I was working on my abacus here and trying to figure out all the math. Guess who has a 75% winning percentage?
Well,
right,
it's
now
not
against
it's
the
not
spread.
Used. Let's move along, shall
okay,
we?
Yeah. So overall for the year, yours truly is 15-5 against the spread. Nobody in Vegas is doing anywhere near.
You
want to
start
me.
Your online,
Matt?
I know where you could buy a
Matt,
segment
you're
on a radio
50,
show.
You're 55% at 11-9, and Reagan, you're not doing too bad. Really, it's okay, buddy. You're at 50%, 10-10. Reagan, just any thoughts on your picks last week? It was a tough week for you, and a tough week for Matt. You guys each went 1-3. You know, the USC. All of us got. We went Kansas City. Gosh dang, Patrick Mahomes, get in the end zone at the end of that game.
Come on, blame it on the Swifties.
And then I took Ole Miss, and both you guys took LSU, and we all took Bama. So, Reagan, just your general thoughts of where you are at this point in the season.
Well, I'm about like Nebraska, Lars.
Ooh.
Actually, I think you're better than
he
Nebraska.
He comes out with a Gibson fastball. Wow.
You know, we can't all win at everything else in life. So some of us have to have their weekly rankings for the sports picks. But that's okay. You know, speaking of sports picks, I'm on my way over to tonight. I'm headed over to the Pearl River Resort. Tonight, me and Leslie are taking our first trip since Raina, where we're both going to be away from Raina overnight. So, that's going to be fun. But you know what, Lars? I tell you what, I'll go over to their Timeout Sports Lounge. You give me your picks. I will bet your picks this weekend, and I'll tell you, and we'll see how much money that we actually make.
Wait, I'm going to have to interrupt here, okay? If Lars comes around or puts any money on these games, he's going to lose, okay? It's the games that he bets on.
Well, there's real money on it now. Yeah. There's money on it now, Lars. I will make my pick, and then I'll fill in a bet slip for you.
Okay.
Yeah. I'll put the bet slip for me. I'll put a bet slip for you. I can parlay them or make individual picks. Doesn't matter. And we'll see who takes home the glory, which is actual cash money.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Nothing spells it out.
All I got to tell you is 75% versus 50%.
Okay. Win percentage. Let's see if it plays. Let's see if it plays this weekend.
All right. Okay. We got to go. All right. Here we go. Like we did
okay.
Last
all right. Okay. OU, Texas, big game here. Texas, 5.5-point favorite. You know what? I'll just tell you first what I'm thinking. I'm going Texas all the way.
Reagan?
Okay, Swami. You know what? Because you put Texas, Boomer Sooner. I like Boomers. Randy's nickname is Boom Boom because he's the biggest Boomer of them all. And Boom Boom, I'm not betting against Boom Boom. Not betting against the Boomers, right? We like Boomers. They're great. A lot of my customers, big Boomers. I'm a big Boomer this weekend. Texas always struggles in this game. I'm just ready for the Steve Sarkisian letdown. This game seems like the right game for the letdown for Steve Sarkisian. I'm ready. Boomer, Sooner, baby.
Matthew.
All right, I'm taking Texas.
Okay. Next game, Kentucky, Georgia. Georgia, 14.5-point favorite. I'm all over Georgia.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. Only dog I'm scared of is Commander Biden, Joe Biden's dog that fit like 12 people. Okay, I'm not scared of the Georgia Bulldogs. I'm all in on Kentucky this weekend. My good friend Jeff Ruby, best steakhouse in the country.
Yes, Ruby's.
Big Kentucky guy. They got their running game going. I think they had like 300 yards rushing last week versus Florida. Georgia struggled all year. I like the Wildcats of Kentucky, and I'm taking them to the bank.
To the bank. Okay.
Wow. Lars, I don't know if this bodes well for you, but I'm ditto. I got the Bulldogs. Like I said earlier, I feel like that the Auburn game shook them up, and they got number 19. And number 19 is a difference maker. And
He's the best player in the country.
He's a two-touchdown difference maker. So I'll take the Bulldogs.
I mean, Matt, you're just looking at the results, and you're realizing who to follow.
Actually, I'm just waiting for you to say what you're saying. So let's go to Alabama.
Before we get to Alabama, do you want to do Alabama first? Yeah, let's do Alabama. Alabama A&M. Alabama, a 1-point favorite. I am Roll Tide.
Reagan.
Well, wow, I'm surprised. I can't believe it. Lars is picking the Tide on the Big Noon Sports Show. That's nice. I'm glad to hear it. Look, Texas A&M is a cult, okay? Like, they're a cult. They're weirdos, right? They do their, like, chant. They do their, like, the midnight yell or the midnight cry.
Yeah. Oh, that was trash.
Yeah, and then they do the thing where they look like they're at the Charlottesville protests with the tiki torches and stuff. Look, there's nothing good about Texas A&M, right? Texas A&M, I think Nick Saban's going to do to Jimbo Fisher what Candy Fisher did to him when she left him. And I think that it's just all over for Jimbo again this week. Had a nice season. Well, I don't even know. He lost to Miami. So if the Miami Hurricanes can beat him, why not Nick Saban? I am all in on Alabama this weekend. I'm 3-0 right now. Let's go take our fourth one.
All right, taking it at 1. Is that correct? Because
yeah.
Peyton was coming during the break. Yeah, the line's going back up. Isn't that correct?
We'll just do it at 1.
All right. I'm taking Alabama.
All right.
I think it's like a 3-point game.
All right. Cowboys 49ers Sunday night. Big game, especially for the Cowboys. It's a prove-it game for Dak Prescott. And the 49ers are, again, it's on the road for the 49ers in Jerry World. 49ers are 4-point favorites. Nonetheless, I am taking the 49ers. Reagan.
I'm with the 49ers. I really like Brock Purdy. I like a lot of things. I like about Christian McCaffrey. I like MAGA Joey Bosa. It's a lot of fun over there. Well, I don't like San Francisco because, well, there's some, I don't want to step on a needle. But other than that, I like their football team. City, different football, yes. I am with the 49ers. I'm giving them
four. Yeah, we're giving 4 points. I've taken the 49ers and 4 points.
You're a
Dragon. It's like you need to record this to make sure you get all of his little jabs.
I get most of them, but
well,
you're right.
Yeah,
probably
see?
A couple of them
yeah.
passed.
Beatles, jabs. Did you do that pun on purpose?
Yeah, of course you did. I know that.
There you go.
By the way, I have it on good authority that Brock Purdy is now dating Jennifer Aniston, and she's going to be
good
at the game.
Him.
Hey, Reagan.
And she will be very visible, and all the Friends fans will now be spiking the ratings.
Have you guys heard that Brock Purdy was Mr. Irrelevant? Have you ever heard that?
No.
Yeah.
Not anymore.
To
say that every time.
49ers.
Matt, who are you taking?
I'm taking San Francisco. We took everything the same, Lars.
Well,
you
it's about time.
With that?
Yeah.
I should be copying you. You're about to hit the toilet. I'm going
to
bring you
down. Wait, I have to go to the toilet?
No. You're about to hit the toilet.
Hey, in San Francisco, you don't need a toilet. You just go in the street.
Reagan, you're an absolute trip. We love you, man.
Hey Reagan.
Where are you right now? Are you on the porch yet?
Yeah, I'm at the mansion.
Tell everybody how to get there and what you can get once you arrive.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, I got Victory Cigars. Yeah. The 2023 edition of the R&R Smoking Elephant Football Cigars are here now. You can come to the mansion. You can get the Smoking Elephant Limited Edition. We got 50 boxes. I think we've already sold half in the first 24 hours, so only like 25 left. Come on down and get your Victory Cigars for the Alabama-Tennessee game. They're going like hotcakes, and it's just a great weekend to be here. We got homecoming next weekend. Hey, there's UFC fight coming up. We got it all. We got everything going on. I'm sorry I don't have the big wieners over there that you guys were talking about before I got on the show. Something about big Chicago wieners. Don't know. Don't ask. Don't tell. Not my business. But anyway, we have some big cigars. So if you like big things in your mouth, we've got some big cigars, okay? So, anyway, we're over at the R&R Cigar Mansion. Hope you come by and get your Victory Cigars. Why don't you guys come over after you get done at Innisfree and have a nice little, we got some great drinks over here. So come have a drink.
I'm familiar, particularly with your bourbons. Thanks, Reagan. We appreciate it very much.
Reagan.
Yeah, man. We'll
this
see
is an instant classic.
Yeah.
Good job, buddy.
I wonder if we're going to have our FCC license after that stuff.
I don't know. Nobody does.
It's okay, right?
Reagan's the king of the double entendre.
Oh, no kidding.
Nobody
cussed. We lost Reagan. That's hard to do.
No, I'm here. Nobody cussed. We're good. We didn't say anything.
The innuendo was quite deep. All right, Reagan.
I don't know what innuendo.
Hey, listen. You don't know what? Come on now. Hey, have fun. I go to Pearl River occasionally, 2 or 3 times a year. I love it over there. Have fun.
Yeah, man. It's the best.
All right. Thanks.
Thanks, Reagan.
Bye.
Man, yep. Are we going to get out of this one alive? I don't know. Between the mustard and now him, I don't know.
Big cigars.
I do want to take a moment, and I don't want to end on a sorrow or a sad note, but we got to talk about Dick. We got to talk about Butkus. Okay, good grief. Here we go all over again. Justin, please get us to a break before I hang us all.
Weekday mornings at 6 a.m., The Martin Houston Show.
Join us on Monday as Kennington Smith III of The Athletic will join us to talk Alabama versus Texas A&M. We'll get his good, bad, and ugly. Then we'll turn our attention to homecoming as Alabama will host the Arkansas Razorbacks. We'll have that conversation and more right here on your home for Alabama sports, Tide 100.9.
Catch the Martin Houston Show from 6 to 7 weekday mornings on Tide 100.9.
Hey, this is Reagan, owner of R&R Cigars, the Cigar Mansion in downtown Tuscaloosa, located at 2703 6th Street across from the Home 2 Suites. Come down to R&R and see why we're the ultimate cigar and bourbon experience. With over 165 bourbons and 5 private barrels, our selection of bourbon is unmatched. We have the best cocktails around and our cigar selection is legendary. Our lounge and service are world class. Come and experience the luxury of the mansion and see why it's a world-renowned cigar and spirits destination.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
We'll maintain the chance of a few scattered rain showers this afternoon, mostly cloudy with a high at 79. Tonight, showers ending this evening, clearing after midnight, the low 52. Tomorrow, sunny, breezy, and cool, the high at 67. I'm James Spann on the ABC 3340 Weather Center on Tide 100.9. It's 78 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
From T-Town to the plains, this is Alabama's most in-depth analysis on the SEC. This is Big Noon Sports.
Coming to you live, as we do on Fridays throughout the college football season, from Ennis Free Irish Pub. Drop by, have a cold Guinness with us, and grab one of the James Joyce burgers. That's my favorite. Sitting at home yesterday, and my phone starts blowing up, and it's all these notifications that Dick Butkus had passed away at the age of 80, and then the Chicago Bears go out and do him justice by beating the Washington Commanders on Thursday Night Football. But I know I'm of age here, and I remember actually watching Butkus play, and he was just mean. He wanted to hit you, and he wanted you to remember who hit you. And he wanted to hit everybody like that. And he wanted to get up off top of you, and you would see him, and you would remember the rest of the game and probably the rest of your career. The number 51 was just one mean, blank linebacker. And he proved it every time he was out there on the field. He's an Illinois guy, and you just don't name a lot of NFL superstars and Hall of Famers from Illinois, do you?
No, you're not.
But anyway, he was one of the greatest I ever watched. And in addition to that, that was the era of the linebacker. And I remember it because I was first starting to watch the NFL. And I would watch my Packers all the time. And because I was a Packers guy and a Nitschke guy. And, of course, I love Ray Nitschke, but all of those linebackers of that era were led by Butkus. And I think you would also get Maxie Bond to say that, Ray Nitschke, others. How about a guy named Lee Roy Jordan? Jordan was fantastic, too, but that was just a great era. Jack Pardee, remember him? Of course, I do. The rest of y'all probably don't, but well wishes and rest in peace, Dick Butkus. You know, I met him one time.
Really?
You know where it was?
Where?
Right over there. What's the Stratford Inn? Is it still around? Is that building still here?
You know what Stratford Inn?
There was a big red building that was about 10 feet stories tall. That's not here anymore, right?
Yeah.
It's remodeled or something like that?
It's been remodeled.
Yeah.
I was standing in the lobby, and he was making an appearance, and he was about to get on the elevator, and I said, Hey, Nick, Dick, do you have a couple of minutes for me? And you just let the elevators close.
Guess not, then.
No interview. No interview with Dick Butkus. But anyway, he was a linebacker's linebacker, and he will be missed because, like I said, the golden age of linebackers in the 60s and early 70s. All right, you want to tee it up? Peyton, give me a prediction on the score. Or did you already?
For Bama, when I was thinking about this yesterday and thinking about the matchups and how it's going to come down to defense, field position, all the things we've talked about all day. I'm going to go 27-20 Bama. I'm going to say we ride the running game, get some long drives down the field, and Jalen Milroe, I'm looking forward to make a few big plays. And this is the game that gets Alabama back onto the national scene and shuts up guys like Paul Feinbaum, he's very quick, very quick always to slander Alabama these days. But I think this is a game that Alabama can come out and reprove to themselves and get themselves some confidence going forward in their SEC schedule. 27-20 Bama.
All right, Laura Lee. By the way, don't get me started. Don't get me started.
We will. Right. Yes, exactly. Moving on. So my prediction was pretty close to yours, and I was going with 27-21 Bama. Now,
oh, that's one off. Okay.
Same page.
Yeah, same page. And so, our linebackers and our defense needs to get after the Texas A&M and after the quarterback, and if they do that, we will prevail. I think our offense is getting straightened out. I think we're getting stronger every week. I think with Milroe being named the quarterback, that's helped his confidence. And they actually played pretty well against those loud cowbells last week. And I mean, that sound was a good practice for this week. That's going to be pretty loud in A&M.
True. Yep. Where are you going here, Robbie?
I had said earlier, I'm looking at 24, maybe 13, tight game, but still pulling away with the win. Naming the quarterback, they've got that now in front of them, so they're just practicing hard every day. So I think Steele's got something for Petrino. I think he's going to dial up a defense, keep them in check. Big quarterback back there. I think we're going to get to him, and we're going to have some picks. So 24-13, Bama rolls.
I'm going back to what I said earlier. I think this has come down to a game of field position, and we got the better punter, and it's probably going to come down to the toe of Will, and he's the best in America right now. Will Reichert will make the difference, and I think the final score will be 20-17. So all said and good, let's grab some lunch and a cold beer. Y'all enjoy this? You want to do it again next
Absolutely.
Week?
Absolutely.
Next week, homecoming, Arkansas?
Yep. It's an 11 a.m. kickoff. Yep.
Also, we got Bama baseball Friday night, the 13th against Auburn. Rob Vaughn's first game as a coach with a new era.
So that's 1 week from tonight.
Yeah, Friday night here at Sewell Thomas, and then they play Florida State 2 weeks later.
Well, that gives us an opportunity to do a whole lot.
A whole lot for that weekend. Homecoming weekend. Come out and support the new players.
Great group of transfers coming in. Seriously.
Yeah. Some baseball, too. And you know we love that. All right. You guys have a wonderful weekend. Roll Tide from Innisfree Irish Pub.
Free on Friday.
Hi, Barry Buckner here.